Good morning again.
Good morning.
Sayla said she was going to report back on how I was doing, so I think I'm good because she'll report back that, you know, we made them look good. So that's part of the task. It's wonderful, though. Again, it's we're not here for a performance. We're here to praise God, right? And what a beautiful morning we have to do that. So today concludes this series. Although, isn't this, on some regards, what we're always doing when we gather as Christians? Reminding ourselves, learning, and pursuing being we the church, right? And this series was meant to bring a number of churches in the area closer together. And again, I'll remind you, Thursday night here at the First Methodist, people from all the neighboring congregations are invited to talk about these ideas, to kind of hear what congregants, what everyone, us pastors and preachers have been talking about this for 5 weeks now. And the idea is that we've got some questions and we want to hear from everyone else how we can pursue these things. And 2 weeks ago, I spoke on mobilization, and the subtitle for that was Everyone, Everywhere, Every Day. And I couldn't help but just keeping that for today and add expanding. We the church, everyone, everyone, or everywhere, every day, expanding. The kingdom of God is meant to be expanding. And when we say that, what are we talking about? And this, I think, is the crux of the issue. Today, we're talking about moving from addition to multiplication. The pattern that we have accepted, that really, in many ways, we have created within Western church, is that we hire professionals, right, to be Christians for us, pastors, and that we add to the church by bringing people to them or bringing them to church. And really, the pattern that we see in the early, the first century in scripture is different than that. The church was everyone. They went everywhere. In fact, I always laugh in Acts, the first chapter, the disciples have some questions. And then Jesus ascends into heaven, and they're gawking up into heaven. And the angel says, what are you looking for? Looking at? He'll come back. Go do what you're supposed to do. Right? And what we see is they were told in verse 8 of that first chapter that Jesus told them, you're going to be my witnesses. And you're going to do so in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria. They were starting to get uncomfortable with that because they didn't like those people in those areas. And to the uttermost parts of the world. In Somerville for years, I used to like to joke, and I wish Heidi was here for this morning. I would oftentimes say, that even means New Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. Right? Everyone. It's to be expanding. But what's that mean? We're not building an institutionalized church, right? We're not building numbers or gaining numbers in a building. These things may happen. But what we're doing is being the church, being God's people, and having an impact on those around us. School's almost over, but and we have a lot of young ones in the back. The ones that are here are not quite as infectious, but young children at school know how to be infectious, right? They share what they have, and that's the picture of us Christians. You know, snot nose, sneezing, wiping our slime all over everything, but just try and think of that in a positive way. So here's the hieroglyphs that I use. These are in the Christ Together package, and so I love these because they make no sense. So I put them up here, but I'm going to help you out today. We started with unity, right? They'll make more sense after this. Unity, being one church, right? First Methodist and Zion are right here. EUM is down the way. You know, Christ said, I'm going to build my church. And unfortunately, for a lot of my adult life, I spent arguing over which church that was. And we see that a lot within denominations, within churches, right? And it took me a long time to figure out some of the really simple things Jesus said. I studied all the complicated things. But simplicity was that we're centered around him, right? That's his church. I'm going to build people. I'm going to build a kingdom around my people, and it's centered on me. And so we seek him, we search after him, we follow him, we try to share him. And when we do that, we do this partially ourselves by changing our lives and having different priorities and different aims. But there's this beautiful part where he empowers us through his spirit and through his word, and he changes us to be something different. The beautiful thing about Christianity is that I don't have to be the best version of Mike. I could get to be something completely different. That's transformation. God is changing us. And we can't have unity without changing and being different than the world, because there is no unity in this world. We don't see it. It's not present. And when we do that, when we change, then sure, we might come together to celebrate and to worship. Do you know why Christians worship on the first day of the week? Like, sometimes I have to pause and remind myself of this. Again, growing up, I spent a lot of my time like, oh, it's church, sit down, be quiet, do everything right, look right, be right, right? And this blew my mind when I started to look closer at the Old Testament. When we think Old Testament, we think about a lot of roles, right? We miss this really important part. You know how God told his people to worship him? Have these huge parties. The feast. They got together and had week-long parties where they celebrate. No, they weren't drunken parties like the world, but they were parties. They were celebrations. And the Christians gathered together on Sunday because their Lord and Savior had raised on Sunday, and they celebrated. We don't have to be sober and all sad and you know, straight-laced. We're excited. The grave is empty.
Somber, not sober. Sober's good, somber.
Good distinction. Thank you. I'm glad you're here. They teach you that in the Marines.
Good.
Good distinction. Very important. It's good to be sober this morning. But we don't have to be somber. You should have heard what Mike preached. So we're going out to share what we have. When we're excited and we're celebrating, right, we're sharing what we have. And to do that, we understand we're not in competition, right? It's not about us being better than any of these other groups that I mentioned. It's about all of us expanding and collaborating, cooperating on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today, when I first looked at this and I was asked, we had a Christ Together meeting a couple of months ago where we invited church leaders from all these groups, and they asked me to handle multiplication. And I was pretty certain that it was because that was the one issue I was qualified for to handle. And my qualification is that Amanda's the eighth grade math teacher. So they're like, Mikey, it's something you can handle. Ask your wife for help with this. You know, and you talk about multiplication. And it's a little uncomfortable with it because in my mind, this is the result. This is the result. When we do what we're told to do, the number of people following Jesus doesn't just get added to, right? And it doesn't get subtracted from. It turns into multiplication. Right. If we count by twos, that increases. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. I told you she schooled me quite well before getting here. But if we start multiplying by twos, notice the difference? 2, 4, 8, 16, 32. And I'd have to ask her. It's, yeah, we don't wake up into the 60s. So what is this the result? I think this is what we're intended to be. And I seeded that idea earlier. Multiplication, this isn't about the right programs. This isn't about having the right things to say. You know, how many times have you thought, I know I have, I'm hesitant to share the gospel because I don't have the right things to say. I don't have all the answers. I think if I bring anything to the table getting to speak to you all, it's this. We don't have to have the right things to say. Mike never has the right thing to say, right? Just shares. Shares what he has. And we've all been given something very special in Christ. It's the same gospel. It's the same manifestation gift in that way, but it expresses itself in our individual lives in very different ways. And that is how we become infectious, right? And that's how we multiply. We go out into the world and we start to rub off on people. Now, I decided to handle this a little bit different than the Christ Together format, just because I think a little bit. When I'm told what to do, maybe I have a problem with authority or something. It's maybe part of it, but I'm always asked why, right? This drove my parents crazy. I didn't understand until Christian was young. I married, he was like 3 years old. He's like, Dad, why are all those trailers in that parking lot? Literally, it's a real conversation we had. I said, well, because they sell them. Why? Well, that's their way of making a living. Why? they didn't want to be a fair. I tie my shoe and horses. They didn't want to be farriers. Why? Well, because that's real sweaty and dirty and stinky work. Why? And like, where does this go? Where does it end? So I got a taste of what it was like to constantly hear why. But I still ask it, why? To me, this is so helpful. Like, we're not going out and telling people, hey, you ought to come to our church. Now, we might be doing that, and that's not bad. But what's that accomplishing? Like, our goal is not to see how many people we can get in church buildings. It wasn't God's goal. What's our goal? I was on this Marine kick this morning. Spencer got me there. Y'all do PT in the Marines, right?
A little bit.
But it's a little bit.
Once in a while.
Once in a while. And you did that regularly, I assume. But it wasn't the purpose why you were in the Marines. It was empowering you to serve. Right? And sometimes in churches, we're like, we wonder in America why numbers are dwindling. It's like PT has become the purpose, right? Learning is what we do. No, learning and growing closer together and celebrating is what empowers us, what makes us stronger to go out and to serve. And this started in the very beginning. You see, God, the theme has not really changed through Scripture. He's walking us through this story, and he's helping us to understand, I created you. And I created you to be special. And when I create something special, I want to change the world. So go out and do this. And right here in Genesis, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, notice this, Evie and I are working on a project for Soli Jesus, and I started with Genesis 1. Notice throughout this, to this point in the chapter, we simply read, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Right before this verse, God says, let us make man in our image. He pauses. He becomes deliberate. He even collaborates with divinity. We won't debate what exactly that means this morning. There's intention there. I'm going to do something very special now. I'm going to create man in my image. And so God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. Did you ever catch this? Growing up, this is what I thought. This may surprise you, but I came from a very conservative family politically. And so this was like the verses, like right in the beginning of the Bible, it says we can take the coal and gas that we want out of the ground, and we can hunt and fish the way we want, right? It's right here. God gave us it. Now, I'm not going to debate that from a political standpoint, because it doesn't matter. Whichever side that you're on, it doesn't matter. That's not what's being said. What's being said is make the rest of creation like the garden. Go out, take my image, and share it everywhere. Have dominion, conquer. We look outside and we see the evil, right? We see the brokenness. Go out and multiply. Have dominion over that wickedness. Share goodness. Be what I've created you to be. And so, to me, that gets way more exciting than how many people can you get in a building, right? Now, is that part of the process? Yeah. I want to be here this morning. I suspect you do too. Because we're growing closer together and closer to God. We're being more like that image so we can turn around and go out. So what's the aim? Now, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and take it to Isaiah, the 11th chapter. And I have the last verse I'm going to read here from this passage. Okay, I'm going to read 1 through 9. And I want you to keep this in mind. We have taken these passages and we've made them to mean heaven. This is what heaven's going to look like. And I think that is true. This is what heaven's going to look like. But I really don't think that that's what God is saying through his prophet Isaiah in the primary context. What he's saying is, I'm going to send my Messiah. And he's going to create a kingdom that changes the world. Right? And that's us today. This is our aim. This is what we as God's people, as we the church, are aiming to do. Starting in verse 1. There shall come from a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from the roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Verse 3. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but by his righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. Now, verse 6, here's the picture. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down, and the young goat, and the calf, and the lion, and the fatted calf together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. The young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I don't know about you, but that excites me. I think we live in a really cool community in Brookville. And in the area, this whole Western PA is really... it's a really beautiful place in so many ways. But that's not the picture we see. Right? Not in the wildlife. Not in people's interaction. Now, is there some of that? Yeah. Here's our aim. Take that garden. Take that blessedness of our Lord and share it with those around us. That's multiplication. I can't help but think, and I don't think there's a better picture than that of the prophet Isaiah. But Alexander the Great was a man of war, right? He conquered most of the known world and did it by strength, but he had a unique approach to the culture. You know, Greek culture changed the world. Did you know we're Hellenist today? Which means we're Greek in our culture. Like, he changed the world seemingly forever. And here's his approach. He conquered, but he just kept going because he didn't need to stay and rule, because here was his philosophy. He said, if you experience what we have, Hellenism, Greek philosophy, you'll want it. I won't have to force you to take it. And he was right. Right? Education, entertainment, competition, government, these pillars, I really messed those pillars up, but they weren't my focus. They're part of our culture today, to this very day. I believe in a much truer sense, in a much more powerful way. You know, we don't have to go out and cram things down people's throats. When we are the church, when we are what Jesus has asked us to be, and we're out and about and interacting, they won't be able to help but to be part of that message and be part of that. What a beautiful aim we have. And so I'm going to end with this idea today. I've never been short preaching a lesson in my entire life, but maybe I just lucked time. Maybe today's the first. So we'll try this. I'm just going to give you two simple ideas. How is it that we, at Harvest Mills, that we as Christ together in our communities, how is it that we as Christian kingdom and nation accomplish that? The idea of taking the good news to everyone. Going to give you two ways. There's probably a couple more, but really I don't think it's that complicated. If you turn to Acts 2, we'll look at the first idea of discipling here. And I'm going to read, I've got verse 42 up there. I'm going to read 41 through 47. Starting 41. So those who received his word were baptized and were added that day about 3,000 souls. Now let me pause here. Because this is the day of Pentecost, right? This is about 40 days after Jesus is raised from the grave, 50 days rather, since he's raised from the grave. I had to think about Pente for a moment. Since he is raised and now is ascended into heaven, and they gather for one of these feasts in Jerusalem. And while they're gathering, the miraculous expression of the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples and likely the 120 in the upper room. And they start to speak in such a way that everyone there from all over the world could hear in their own language. And Peter preaches the first gospel sermon that we have recorded in Scripture. In 41, we're picking up at the end of this. And those who received, I mean, it wasn't an easy message. You talk about endearing the people that you're speaking to. He says, listen, people, you have killed the very Son of God. And they were cut to the heart, and they respond, what should we do? What's going to happen? How do I do this? Well, I'll tell you what, if that's us, we've got this big, complicated process, don't we? Peter's response was incredibly simple, because God is reaching out to his people. And so those that received his word were baptized and were added that day 3,000 souls. Wow, that's multiplication, isn't it? Now look what they do. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You know what that is? I'm sure you ladies are doing something similar to this on Wednesday nights. This is what we're attempting to do on Tuesday nights in our men's group. That's, here's what we're dealing with in life. What would Jesus say about how I handle that? Right? That's what the disciples had spent 3.5 years with them. And their whole lives before that studying Torah. And now they're sharing. They're together. And they're like, hey, you know, this Roman guy, he said this to me the other day. You know, what do you think Jesus would have me say about that or do about that? Right? And they're devoted to this. And to fellowship. And breaking bread. They're sharing life together. They know what's going on in one another's lives. They know when to show up. You know, one thing that I think about, I've asked people so many times, how can I help? Actually, if I have to ask you, how can I help? I don't really know you all that well, right? When Amanda's in need, let me reverse that, it'll work better. When I'm in need, Amanda knows what I need, right? Because she knows me. These people were living together. They knew the struggles. They knew the outcomes. What's that mean? They were discipling. Right? They're living out the text. They're living out the word of God. They're living out the love of Jesus Christ. And learning to do that together. I know I say this a lot, but I think from a public speaking standpoint, it's important that you know this. I'm not here because I'm perfect or even very good. Right? Being Christian isn't about having it all right. It's about being dedicated, devoted to being better, to do being more like Christ, doing these things. And the prayers, the end of verse 42. They're hearing from God and they're telling God. They're sharing with God, right? One another. And all, verse 43, and all came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. Let's get real. Do I love you? I don't know. My pockets, you know, somehow got sealed up. You know, my pickup truck, suddenly I don't have the keys available, right? Do I love you? How much am I willing to help you? They had all things in common. And they were selling, well, it's getting serious. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all who had any need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. I grew up using King James, and if you use it, it's not a bad translation, but it's difficult to understand. There's many misunderstandings. And in the King James, Matthew 20, verse 19 says, "Go therefore and teach all things that I've commanded you." I'm having trouble quoting the King James now. "Go therefore and make disciples." Yeah. "Go therefore teaching all nations," is what the King James says. It's not a bad translation. It's just not complete in that particular concept. You see, teaching, we think of like what Amanda does at school. I'm going to stand here and tell you what to do. The idea of discipling is what's there. We're walking this out together. We're making disciples. We're getting closer to what Jesus wanted us to be. If we're going to change the world, it's going to start with us. It's going to be discipling and getting closer to God. And then it's going to be sharing that. And it's going to be helping people, not throwing rocks at their shortcomings, but helping them through the situations of life. And you probably saw this already as you turn to Acts 6, chapter 6. You saw this in the other passage. What would Jesus have us do? Yeah, we get the passages. We all want this part, the multiplied, right? The number multiplied. Well, what caused that? We're going to read here in Acts 6, 1 through 7 about the kind of service. We already saw it in Acts 2. It was right from the beginning. It was in Torah to take care of those who were in need, to help those in difficult times. But in Acts 6, these people were different. You know, not everyone in the early church was the same. There was this split. There were several splits in Judaism, but this split was one that's being dealt with here, and it's huge. You had Jews who spoke Hebrew and stayed very true to the culture, the Hebrew culture. And then you had Jews, Hellenists, who were Greek-speaking, and they thought, yeah, I can serve God, but I can enjoy the fine things of life too. I dare say we're all Hellenists here today. But there's this split that, you know, that they're like, you can't serve God and be like that. So guess what? Who do we tend to take care of? We want to help people who have problems like me, right? Those people have different problems or look different or act different than what I do. There's this tribalism that we naturally pull away from. Well, that's what's one of the things that's different about Christianity, right? Here's Christianity in a nutshell as I get into this passage. Be different. That means from everyone else and from what I'd want to do. If my instinct is to do X, I really ought to think, because it's probably B. It's a long ways from X, right? I'll just give him a piece of my mind. Well, that's the first thing that came to my mind, so I'm thinking that's probably what's not spiritual, right? So, starting in verse 1. Now, in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, sounds like a good start, right? There arose a complaint by the Hellenists against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. Well, this is interesting. They were giving their money to help those who were in need. They had daily distribution, right? Something we as a church ought to be mindful of. How do we help? How do we serve our community? How are we a blessing to those around us? But the people aren't like us. They're getting left out. Verse 2. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it's not right that we should give up the preaching of the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of spirit and wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. Let me pause here, because the 7 names that they pick, starting in verse 4, are all Greek names. You know what we do as a church, if there's some difficulty and someone thinking different than what we want to, you know what we do is we get people like us to oversee that ministry. You know what they did? The Hellenists are being left out. Let's get Hellenists to oversee this ministry and take care of it. The people who know the problem the best. Verse 4. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole congregation, so they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, Philip, and Prochorus, those Greek names. Verses 6, I read those earlier. These they set before the apostles, and when they prayed, laid their hands on them. Those verse 7. And the word of God continued to increase. And number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Want to know what one of my greatest aims in life is? This isn't what you should be. I'm just being honest. It's to accumulate. Right? I make a point of not looking at my IRA accounts more than once a year. I look at my children's with them more often than I look at mine. But what? I want that to accumulate. Right now, I'm in the process of accumulating houses. I'm only at 11 doors right now. My goal for the end of the year was 10. I'm already at 11, so I'm thinking maybe I could do more. You see what I'm getting at? It's churches we can try and accumulate people, and of course, money, right? That enters into all of our lives. You know what Jesus did? He gave up heaven, and he gave his all. You know what he asked us to do? Give. Give my word, give my way, share it with all those, and help those who are in need. Give. Be generous. I'm not sure when we will ever get to the point of the child being able to, without threat, lay his hand on the adder's den or play over the cobra's hole. But this I know. It's not ever going to happen with the philosophy of out there. It's going to happen by us submitting and following. Seeking. And the more we do that, the more irresistible we become. Would you close with me in prayer? Lord, we just thank you for your blessings of your word. We thank you for it being powerful and living. We thank you for it impacting our lives. And Lord, this day we ask that our hearts are open to you, that we can receive what you have in our lives. We ask that you would help us to submit the places that are difficult. We ask us to be devoted to being discipled and discipling, so we can be more like you and help those around us to be more like you and share you and your image with those that we come in contact with. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness where we fail, and we ask that you would help us to be forgiven. We thank you for your grace, and we ask that you would help us to be graceful. We ask that you would serve one another, that we would serve those who are in need, that we would not look the other way, but rather that we would show your love. And Lord, we pray in doing these things that your gospel and your kingdom would expand and multiply in the communities around us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.